I hope you all had a great Christmas, celebrating the birth of Jesus. I know our family did. It was a fun time. It was about a month ago, actually, after Thanksgiving, when I had the chance to go to a birthday party for my grandma. And there were a lot of her friends there, a lot of our family as well. And, you know, we hung out and kind of just celebrating. And we got to did the cake thing, and then everybody kind of gathered around in this large room and watched her open her presents. As she got through the presents and the presents kind of ran out, people started to share stories about my grandma. And they shared stories, you know, some of them were humorous, and not a few of them were embarrassing to her. And most of them, you know, a lot of people shared stories about how my grandma's life had impacted them. And then one of my grandma's friends spoke up. She said, "See, Gloria, isn't this great? It's like you get to listen to your own eulogy, and you're not even dead yet." We laughed. It was funny. It was a little awkward, too. But, you know, it made me stop and think. If I got to listen to my eulogy, how would it go? What would it be like? You know, we all want our lives to matter. We want our lives to count, to make a difference. But if you died tomorrow, what would your family and friends say about you? How would your eulogy go? What would the impact of your life be? I want you to sit back and think about your life for a moment this morning. Okay, just sit back and think about your life. If you had to write out a story of your life, the story of your life, how would it go? What would it look like? Who would be the main characters in your story? Who are the main characters in your story? What are the main events in your story? What are the turning points of your story, if you had to write it out? And as you think about your life and your story, if you had to sum it all up, what would the impact of your story be? Now, no one wants to get to the end of their life, and realize that it was wasted. I mean, the life that we have, it goes so quick, right? We get 60, 70, 80 years, and it's over like that. And some people don't even get that much. So how do we take that precious time that we've got before it's gone, and how do we make it count? How do we make the most of that time? When I die, I want to find out my life made a difference. I want to find out that it counted in things that matter for eternity. So how do we live out the story of our lives so that they really matter? That's the question we're asking this morning. How do you make your story count? And to do that, we're going to look at Exodus, the second book of the Bible this morning. So you can turn there if you like. You can attempt to follow along. The verses are also in your notes, which in the notes in the bulletin today, which should be helpful. Exodus records the true story of the life of Moses and how God used him to set the Israelites free from under Pharaoh in Egypt. Now, we are going to jump around a bit in the first few chapters of Exodus this morning. We're going to cover a lot of ground. But these chapters record the actual events that occurred. They record what happened. But we're going to step back this morning. And we're going to look at these chapters from the bigger picture view of the story that they unfold. And we're going to look at the main characters of that story. So we're going to focus on three of them. First, we're going to focus on Pharaoh. Second, we're going to focus on the Israelites. And third, on Moses. And as we look at the life story of each of those characters, we're going to see how God used their life. We're going to find some important principles in each of those life stories for how to make our lives count. Now, here's the basic gist of what happened. This is the basic story, right? The Israelites were living in slavery in Egypt under the Pharaoh, and Moses was an Israelite, but he's not living in Egypt. He's out in exile in the desert. And where we are going to pick it up, Moses is about 80 years old And he is a humbled old man. When one day, God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. It's recorded in chapter 3 of Exodus. God revealed himself to Moses in chapter 3. And in verse 7, he says this. God told him, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians." Skip to verse 10. It says, "So now go, Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" So Moses was scared to go. He felt completely inadequate, not up to it at all. Later, as we're going to see, he even asks God to please send somebody else. But despite Moses' all of his objections, God convinces him, you're going to Egypt. And so Moses goes and he obeys. And he took God's message to the Israelites. And at first, the Israelites are really excited. And then they get really discouraged. Because what happened is Pharaoh finds out about this Free the Israelites campaign. He thinks this is a really bad idea. And so he loads them down with a ton of work. He gives them an impossible amount of work. They can never get it all done. And they are so discouraged. And the Israelites get so discouraged. They don't even want to listen to Moses. And then Moses gets so discouraged, he's ready to quit. And basically, God's whole plan is coming apart. And then God convinces Moses to go back to Pharaoh. And even though Pharaoh doesn't listen to him and he keeps rejecting him, Moses keeps going. And as Moses goes, Pharaoh continues to harden his heart. And as his heart gets hard, God pours out these judgments on Egypt and on Pharaoh, these plagues. And finally, with his country in ruins, Pharaoh sends the Israelites away. So that's the basic story. But as we think about that story, those events that actually happened, as we think about the main characters of that story, what's that story about? What's the center of these events? What's happening here? What's the focus here? I want to jump to chapter 5 and look at the first two verses in chapter 5. It says, "Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, 'This is what the Lord, the God of God of Israel, says.'" Now, Lord, that word Lord, there's two words from the Hebrew that we translate Lord. Okay, one is Adonai, which means like Lord or Master. And anytime you see Lord in all capital letters in your Bible, anytime you see that, that is God's personal name, Yahweh. It sounded like I am. God spoke to Moses and he revealed his name to Moses back in chapter 3. He said, "I am who I am." Okay, this is God's personal name. So it helps me when I read these passages. Whenever you see that in your Bible, you can put in Yahweh. That's what it really is in the Hebrew. So this is what it says. "This is what the Lord, this is what Yahweh, the God of Israel, says. 'Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert.' Pharaoh said, 'Who is Yahweh that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know Yahweh. I will not let Israel go.'" In these couple verses, Pharaoh hits the nail on the head. In these couple verses, he uncovers the whole point about what this whole section, all these chapters, is about. Who is the Lord? Who is Yahweh? Now, through the plagues, God's going to make it pretty clear to Pharaoh who he is. And in Moses' life, when he's scared and he says, "Who am I that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God's going to explain to him, "Moses, that doesn't matter because I am going with you. Moses, it doesn't matter who you are. It's about who I am." And I love what God says to the Israelites. His answer to the Israelites comes in chapter 6. Take a look at these verses from chapter 6, starting at verse 6. It says, "I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you. I will buy you back with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Underline that. Then you will know that I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am Yahweh. Repeated over and over and over. Now, throughout these verses, throughout these chapters, over and over, it's repeated. God does it. He tells the Israelites, he tells Pharaoh, he tells Moses again and again, I am the Lord. I am Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. See, the central issue here in this whole series of events, the central issue is who God is. This isn't about Moses. It's not about the Israelites. It's not about Pharaoh. This is about God. Now think about your story. Think about your story this morning. What's the center of your story? What's the focus of your story? Did you know that the story of your life is about God? It doesn't matter, actually, even if you're walking with him or not. Did you know that the center of your life is about God? Now, Pharaoh, as far as we know, Pharaoh never becomes a follower of God. He never becomes a believer, so to speak. But God used Pharaoh's life to bring glory to his name. And he did it through the lives of the Israelites and through Moses. Because each of our lives is really about God. And if you want to make your life really count, if you want to make your life really count, the first thing you need to know is that your story is about God's glory. The story of your life is about bringing glory to God. The more you cooperate with that principle, the bigger an impact your life is going to make. Now you can live your whole life, you know, running after your own desires and the pleasures of this world. And when you die, it's going to count for nothing. But when you pursue God's glory, that's something that lasts for eternity. Now, God used the people in this story to bring glory to his name. And as we look first at Pharaoh and second at the Israelites and third at Moses, we're going to see how God wants to work in our own lives to bring glory to his name. So first of all, let's start with Pharaoh. Okay, think about Pharaoh's situation. What's the center of Pharaoh's life to him? What's the center of his story? For Pharaoh, it's about power. It's about maintaining control. Right? Pharaoh's got this valuable labor pool in the Israelites. Is he just going to send that away? Why would he do that? And Pharaoh's problem is that he needs to acknowledge God for who he is. So what does Pharaoh need? What does a guy like Pharaoh need? Look at these verses in chapter 9 of Exodus. God sends Moses to Pharaoh with this message. He says, this is what the Lord, this is what Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so that they may worship me, or this time I will send the full force of my plagues against you, and against your officials, and against your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me. You can underline that. You see it again? So that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For by now, I could have stretched out my hand, and I could have struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Now, Pharaoh needs to know he's not in control. He needs to know this God of the Hebrews, this is the true and living God. This Yahweh, this is the Lord of heaven and earth. Pharaoh's holding on to this illusion that he has power, But what Pharaoh needs is he needs to get humbled. Pharaoh found out who the real God is. And when God brought him down, the news of that traveled throughout the nations. Other nations heard about this God of the Hebrews who brought down the mighty Egyptians. In fact, hundreds of years later, I think it's 1 Samuel 3, you can read about it. The Philistines, hundreds of years later, they know about this God of the Hebrews, and they have a fear of this God because they know what this God did to the Egyptians. Hundreds of years later. See, God's name, his glory, it was proclaimed in all the earth. In fact, we're still talking about it today. We're still talking about what God did to the Egyptians and how he brought glory to his name. When God humbles the proud, he gets the glory. Now, what the lesson from Pharaoh's life, it's not something that's, you know, just for those people over there. It's for each of us. In each of our lives, we have areas where we are clinging to control. There's areas of our lives that we're holding on to. Now, maybe you've been following God for a long time. But I'm willing to bet you're not perfectly surrendered to him. Right? God's ongoing work in us is to bring us more and more under his lordship so that we're more and more surrendered to him, so that we start to look more and more like his son, Jesus. It brings God glory when we humble ourselves and we surrender areas of our life to him. And the first question this morning is, where does God want to humble you? Where is there an area in your life that you need to turn over the control to him? You need to surrender it to him. What in your life are you trying to control like Pharaoh? Trying to hold on to? Is there a relationship in your life that you're trying to control that you won't surrender to God? It might be a relationship where you're trying to control the other person by manipulating them, and that's how you have power and control in the relationship. Or maybe, in a different sense, maybe it's a relationship that you know is not honoring to God. But you want to keep it. You don't want to give it up. What about your money? Do you insist on handling your money your way? Right. Will you trust God with your finances? What about your career? Who's in charge of your career and where it's going? What about your dreams? What about your free time? Who's in control of how you spend your free time? Right? Who's in control of what you watch on TV? What you do on the computer? Who's in control of what you listen to or what you read? Right? What are the areas in your life where you need to get humble and you need to give up control and turn it over to God? Now, when Pharaoh wanted to hold on to the Israelites, and he wanted to keep them in his control, God told him, "Let my people go." And so if there's an area of your life that you're holding on to, you need to get humble and you need to let it go. You need to turn it over to God. So first, God gets glorified by humbling Pharaoh. But second, what about the Israelites? What's the center of their story? Right, to them, the center of the Israelites' story is their pain and suffering. That's all they can see. They're so discouraged. They're so beaten down. That is all they can see. They're so discouraged, they don't even want to listen to Moses talking about this God who wants to free them. Don't even talk to us about that, Moses. We're done. We can't listen to that anymore. Their problem is their slavery. And what the Israelites need, they need to be delivered. They need somebody to deliver them. They need to be set free. And they sure can't do it on their own. But they did have a part to play as well. They had a role. In chapter 2, it says this: "The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God." And then we already read in chapter 3 of Exodus how God responded. He said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. If you're in slavery, if you can identify with the Israelites this morning, right? Do you feel discouraged? Is life beating you down? Are you facing an impossible situation? Does life seem hopeless sometimes? Okay, if you're in that kind of suffering, what you need to know this morning is that God is concerned about your suffering. He's concerned about your suffering. How would you like God to come down and intervene in your impossible situation? I have come down to rescue them. I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. Now, we are all born slaves to sin, right? We're all slaves to sin. We start out slaves to sin. We need God to deliver us. And we can become slaves to a lot of other things. Addictions are one example, right? Addictions to everything from relationships or TV, food, to the internet, to drugs and alcohol. Just about anything can become an addiction. You could be a slave to your job. Maybe you hate your job, but you can't leave. You could be a slave to your financial condition. Maybe it's medical bills. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe it's your spending habits, but you're a slave to your financial condition. Where in your life do you need to be set free? Where do you need to be set free? Look at what the Israelites did. The Israelites did two things. First, they cried out to God for help. If you're in slavery, if you need to be delivered, you need to cry out to God. I love this prayer from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah just cries out to God. He writes, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you." Do you long for God to intervene in your situation, to rend the heavens and come down, and that the mountains would tremble before him, to intervene in your impossible situation? That's the first thing the Israelites did. They cried out to God. There's a second thing they did. Second, when God provided a way out, they took it. When God split the Red Sea, the Israelites still had to walk through. What is it that God wants you to do? Are you willing to do what God wants you to do to be free? In each of our lives, you know, we have these areas where we're likely in slavery. Things were in slavery too. But God is glorified when he sets people free. God is glorified when he delivers people from impossible situations. And he gets the glory. In the story of your life, where does God want to set you free? Where does he want to set you free to bring glory to his name? Just a note here. God's deliverance comes in God's timing. The Israelites were in Egypt for 430 years before God set them free. And what happened, God was unfolding a bigger story, and he had a bigger plan that was at work, and so he set them free at just the right time. But they didn't see all that. You know, their job was just to cry out for deliverance and then to take that path when God showed them what to do. But the timing was up to him. And his timing's always perfect. So we've seen, first, how God got glorified in Pharaoh's life. And second, we've seen how God gets glorified through the lives of the Israelites. But third, what about Moses? From Moses' point of view, what's the center of his story? Moses is focused on his inadequacy, right? He feels just completely insecure and inadequate. But God wants to use him. God wants to use Moses. Go back to chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 11. Right? God wants to use Moses, but Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And basically, through the next couple of chapters, Moses is going to come up with one objection after another about why God shouldn't use him. And God answers all of Moses' objections. But God's basic response is this: "Moses, I'm going to be with you." And when Moses is all out of objections, God's answered all of them, finally, he comes right down to it and he spits it out. And he does it in Exodus chapter 4 and in verse 13. But Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." Okay, humility is a good thing. Moses knows he can't do anything in his own power, right? That's a good thing. But Moses' problem is that he's way beyond humility. Moses is so focused on himself. He's so focused on his own inadequacy that now he's being disobedient. He's way beyond humility. Now he's dishonoring God. Moses thinks that his shortcomings are a bigger deal than God's power. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like the things you've messed up are a bigger deal than God's power? That's where Moses is. What Moses needs to do is he needs to step out in faith. Moses needs to trust God. It doesn't even matter what Moses does or doesn't bring to the table, right? Because it's not about Moses. It's about God. And God gets glorified when he uses inadequate people to do impossible things. Then he gets the glory. I may have shared this before, but one of my favorite pastors has pointed out that, you know, some of you might be too good to be used greatly by God. You might just have too much going for you. Frankly, some of you might be too smart. You might have too much money. You might be too good looking. Because God loves to use inadequate people to do impossible things, because then it's clear he gets the credit. He gets the glory. That's good news for people like me and you. Now, we know God has blessed us incredibly here at Crossroads with an amazing pastor in Jeff. But he'd be the first to say, I mean, why would God use a controller from Kohler Company to start a church when he could use a seminary-trained pastor with years of experience? Why would God do that? Because then he gets the glory. And why would God want to open up his word to you this morning and to speak to you through a stay-at-home dad who actually hasn't been a Christian that long, who's kind of shy and actually does not like talking in front of people? Why would he do that? Because then he gets the glory, right? Then he gets the glory. Let me ask you this. Why would God want to take your life? Why would God want to use your life when he knows all the ways that you've screwed up? He knows the horrible things you've done. He knows all the problems you still have. Why would God want to use your life? Because then it's clear he gets the glory. God loves to use inadequate people to do impossible things. He loves it. So the question this morning is, where in your life has he called you to step out in faith? You're scared, you're worried you're going to fail, you're insecure about it? What if you meet resistance? But you know, God is laying something on your heart. Now, I know that last month when Jim Parker spoke, I know that God spoke to a lot of you through his message. If you missed that message, when Jim Parker spoke, go to the website. You should listen to it. And basically, Jim talked about how an encounter of a different kind with God, that requires that we step out into the unknown. It requires a risk where you're counting on God to see what God's going to do. Now, if God spoke to you that day, if he spoke to you about stepping out in faith, how are you doing with that? How's it going? Did you do it? Or are you still thinking about it? If you did it, if you stepped out in faith, if you tried something, if you went for it, how'd it go? Did you meet some resistance? Did you quit? That's exactly what happened to Moses. Moses listened to God initially. He stepped out in faith. He went. And then when Pharaoh wouldn't listen to him and the Israelites wouldn't listen to him, he was ready to quit. But if you want the story of your life to bring glory to God, then you got to keep going for it. You've got to keep trusting God. The story of your life is about God's glory. How can you make the most of it? How can you make the most of it today? Where in your life do you need to be humbled? Where do you need to give up control? Where in your life do you need to be delivered? Where do you need to be set free? And where in your life do you need to step out in faith and trust God? Are you willing this morning, are you willing to use your life to bring God glory? Did you know what happens to lives that are lived for God's glory? Lives that are lived for God's glory, they impact other people. Lives that are lived for God's glory transform the world. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want your eulogy to go? Do you want people to say, you know, so-and-so was a real nice person. Yeah, they had a nice house. We had a lot of fun hanging out. I'm sure going to miss them. Let me tell you this morning what the eulogy of a life lived for God's glory sounds like. Okay? It goes like this. You know, oh boy, they weren't perfect. But if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for them, fill in the blank. If it wasn't for them, man, I never would have made it through that time in my life when the bottom dropped out. If it wasn't for them, man, I would have walked away from my marriage. If it wasn't for them, I never would have heard about what God did for me. If it wasn't for them, I never would have learned how to start growing in my walk with Christ. Well, you know, if it wasn't for them, I never would have experienced how God could use my life. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be going to heaven. If it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for the people in my life who lived their lives for God's glory, I wouldn't be here talking to you. My story would be a lot different. And I know where it was going, and it wouldn't be pretty. If it wasn't for them, is the legacy of a life lived for God's glory. A life lived for God's glory, it leaves a whole network of transformed lives. A life lived for God's glory transforms the world. Now, Can you imagine the impact of a whole community of lives lived for God's glory? What does God want to do in your life today? What does God want to do in the story of your life this morning to bring glory to His name? Let me pray for us. Father God, You are awesome. We thank You so much for Your word. Lord, how it challenges us, how it speaks to us, how You comfort us. Father God, we thank You so much for this time. God, we want to live our lives to bring glory to Your name. We want to be a community of people whose stories bring glory to You and who transform the world. Right now, God, we give You our story. I pray that You would use it however You want to bring glory to Your name. We thank You for this time together. We thank You for this community of people. We trust all these things to Your care in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.